Reno's panic. He needs...
Dorman was hit in the stomach and fell to the ground. Falcon knelt beside him.
Get out of here, Falcon!
I'm not gonna leave you here.
Retreat!
Reno spurred his horse back toward the river. The others galloped after him.
Go! Get out of here!
If I get you on a horse, do you think you can hold on?
The engines were now within 100 yards.
I can try.
There was only one horse left. The Falcon managed to grab its reins, and he lifted Dorman into the saddle, then slapped the horse on its rump. The horse started toward the river, but it got no more than 10 feet when Dorman was hit a second time. He stayed in the saddle for another 50 feet or so, then fell. The horse, riderless now, continued to gallop away, leaving Dorman on the ground and Falcon afoot. Engine swooped down on Falcon. He pulled his pistol. The others swerved around him and continued on toward the retreating soldiers. Falcon's first thought was to run toward the river, but he knew that in order to do so, he would have to run right through the middle of the attacking engines. That left him no choice but to run into the little thicket that had anchored the left side of Reno's original skirmish line.
McAllister, over here!
Falcon ran for the sound of the voice and jumped down into a shallow depression. There, he saw Lieutenant DeRudio and one of the sergeants.
Is Dorman dead?
I don't know. Right now, it's too hot out there to find out.
Colonel McAllister, good to meet you, sir. Sergeant Tom O'Neill.
Good to meet you. Wish it was better circumstances.
Falcon could see the engines riding back and forth on the bank of the river, about a half a mile away, pouring fire into the retreating soldiers. Benny Hodgson's horse was shot out from under him, and the young lieutenant leaped into the water. One of the soldiers came back and extended the stirrup of his horse to Hodgson, and by holding on to the stirrup, Hodgson was pulled quickly across the stream. But when the pair reached the other side and Hodgson let go of the stirrup and tried to climb up out of the creek, he was shot. At that precise moment, Benteen arrived with his troops and they immediately joined into the battle, providing enough additional firepower to keep the engines from crossing the river. The frustrated Braves rode back and forth on this side, sometimes firing across at Reno's troops, and sometimes just galloping up and down, shouting and screaming. Falcon lay in the little ravine with the others for the rest of the day, and darkness soon moved in, and the river could no longer be seen.
If we're ever gonna get out of here, now's the time.
I agree.
It was slightly overcast, and the moon was but a thin crescent. So when they moved out of the thicket, they were able to use the darkness to cover their movement. They couldn't see the river from there, but they were able to find their way easily by following the trail of dead bodies. Engines, soldiers, and horses. Moving downstream, they found a place where they could cross, plunging into the water. They worked their way to the other side. When they came ashore, they discovered they were on an island. In the dim glow of moonlight, saw that the other side was a high, steep bluff that would be impossible to climb.
Now what?
We're on an island. I think that means we'll be safe for the night. Let's wait until it lightens up enough to see what we're doing. Let the troops see us. I wouldn't want to escape the Indians, only to be shot by our own men.
Good point.
The three men waited through the night. Then, in the lighter gray of pre-dawn, they saw a body of men riding down the bank on the opposite side. They were in uniform, and the one in front was wearing a buckskin jacket.
That's our men?
Yes, that's a Tom Custer.
Tom! Tom Custer! Over here!
The rider stopped and looked toward DeRudio's voice.
What the hell?
They're Sioux.